I mean, one of the things that we promised ourselves that this was going to be a fluid situation. This was going to be a day-to-day situation. And we would be on a perpetual state of just observing, gathering information, and doing everything we possibly could to have fall sports. That being said, the thing, our overarching reason and the overarching issues that we had to always keep at the top of our mind was the fact, and I've said it from the first day that I started at the Big Ten, that the health, the safety, the wellness, and both physical and mental for our student athletes was going to be at the top of my list.
This was an extremely difficult and painful decision that we know will have important impacts on our student athletes, coaches, administrators, and our fans. And I know nothing that we can say will ease some of that disappointment, especially for some of our seniors.
Good morning, Nashville. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad with you here on a really unprecedented day. It is expected, yet shocking, absolutely unprecedented, as we look at the Big 12 and Pac-12, Big 10 rather, and Pac-12 postponing fall sports until 2020. And Joe, in fact, the Pac-12 has said all sports for the remainder of 2020. I just don't think at this point right now you can really grasp the far-reaching implications of this in the world of sports. Again, expected, but still devastating to so many people.
Oh, absolutely, John. You're talking about, you know, a lot of these kids who have been saying they want to play and they've been working hard, and it gets pulled out from under them. And it's not that this is a complete surprise. We knew this might happen. But then you talk about, if you're talking about implications economically, you think about these college towns. You think about these athletic departments, there are going to be sports that are going to be cut. I mean, their athletic departments cut to the bone. People are going to lose their jobs. People have already lost their jobs, but a lot more is coming. It's absolutely devastating. And, of course, now we are waiting on the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12. But it's a massive, massive move, and a lot of people unhappy about this right now.
Yeah, and where do you start with the questions? Where do you start with what happens next? Where do we go from here? The Ohio State Athletic Director, Gene Smith, had made a point that, first of all athletes are remaining on scholarship. All athletes are going to have access to training, meals, and also to medical services. But what he said I thought was kind of interesting yesterday, that the mental health facilities would be there. And I thought, man, you know, that is a really big thing, because how devastating is it going to be? He also said, hey, look, man, let's sleep on this. Let's wake up tomorrow with a fresh attitude. But how do you really, I mean, you wake up from a nightmare as a college athlete. This is your shot. These are the kind of athletes that have an opportunity to make a large amount of money in professional sports. And for a lot of them, that dream has just been taken away. When you wake up from that, I don't think you can really have a fresh attitude.
Yeah, and then there's some who may not have a professional opportunity, but it's their senior year, and it's still your identity as a person, and you've worked your entire life. You've been playing football since you were 9 years old or whatever it is, and this is it, and you're at Ohio State or you're at Purdue or you're at Michigan State, and now what do you do? I think we will see. Look, I think for the guys who can go pro, John, I think you'll see a lot of guys opt out. We've seen some already. We've seen some prominent prospects opt out already. We will see more. We will see a lot more. Also, you will see some of these guys transfer. And, you know, that's the thing. There's other smaller conferences that have also already opted out for the season. And those coaches are afraid of being raided. I'm hearing, I mean, the governor of Florida was like, hey, a Big Ten players, come play for our schools right now. Now, of course, I think everyone should wait and see how it all shakes out. I think right now it's way more likely that the other leagues follow suit at some point. It's not going to happen imminently here. But I think, you know, if you're a player looking, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else and play, I'd hold off and let the dust clear a little bit, because, look, if the medical professionals gave them new information this week, and that's what they both said, then how would that information not also reach these other leagues? And here's another thing, John. The Big Ten needs to be a lot more transparent about that. You know, they said they have this information. Well, share it. Put it out there. Tell us what it is. The Pac-12 put out a medical expert, and I thought that was smart to do that. But these things should be talked about openly about this virus. We're finding out new things about it every day. So let's not lurk in the shadows with this. Let's get it out there. What is it that worries you? There's some heart studies right now that have been sort of cited by media via anonymous sources. So say that out loud. I think everyone's afraid because right now in this country, John, any medical expert could stand up and say this, do this, and you say, well, I have an expert over here that says that you're wrong. I mean, no one wants to believe even what scientists are saying right now. It's a problem. But these leaders who are pulling this rug out from under these players, they need to be transparent.
Yeah, so the Pac-12, in their medical statement, they did come out and say that this has a lot to do with geographical location of the conference, that in that part of the country, which again was kind of surprising to hear, they say we have less opportunity and less access to good testing because of where we are. There's more spikes in the virus because of where we are. And that was how they made their decision. And again, when you look at the other Power 5 conferences, especially the Big Ten, they're not making statements like that. And what it makes you wonder is, are the medical professionals the ones that are telling these people not to go forward with football as it sits right now, or is it legal professionals?
Yeah, well, listen, I think certainly they have medical professionals that are heavily involved in this. I mean, there's a medical professional in this city who I've talked to for pieces for The Athletic. He's been on shows, he's been on CNN, you know, Dr. Bill Schaffner at Vanderbilt, and he was on the committee to put forth all the protocols for the NCAA. I mean, I think certainly the medical professionals are being certainly heavily used and listened to here. But to your point, John, I don't think you can ignore that aspect of it. I've seen some arguing on this, like it's really, you know, you really wouldn't have a case. You know, the liability thing's overblown. I think that these presidents, ultimately, they have to assess risk. And it's the presidents of the universities making the decision. It's not the conference commissioners. It's not the athletic directors. We know it's not the coaches. They have to assess risk, and certainly liability has to be a part of that discussion. I think it's naive to think otherwise. But I also I believe them when they say they've gotten medical information. That's also, I mean, the medical and legal people talk a lot together, right? I mean, that's all part of the same equation of risk here, and obviously – the Big Ten and Pac-12 people don't think that this is worth the risk.
So the rest of the Power Five, where do you go from here? If somebody else does it, if the precedent is set, how do you go forward? And that's why a lot of people, that's why you hear a lot of people that are, they may be speculating, but they have pretty good evidence behind them to say that now that you're going forward, you may have to just cancel your football and maybe all of your winter sports till 2020 as well, just because other people are doing it. I mean, it's a domino effect when this happens. When the beginning of the pandemic in the NBA with the Rudy Gobert thing, when that hit and that domino fell, all of a sudden everybody else was out.
Right.
I'm not saying it's all monkey see, monkey do for that situation, but there's a tremendous amount of pressure. So if you're the one who opts out, and everybody's safe, so you're going to have no questions. Well, you're the one, and then on the other side, you're the group that decided to go forward with it, and something happens. There's the risk that is involved.
Yeah, exactly. So some of it is straight up the risk we were just talking about, and some of it is public perception too. Because if the ACC and SEC go forward here, and they actually go into the season and play, first of all, they will take a lot of heat for it. They will. Now, again, they'll also, I think, have the appreciation of a lot of their fans, of a lot of their donors, and that's an important thing to talk about. You know, I mean, if you are, I mean, look, the chancellor at Tennessee went to football practice yesterday and talked to the team and said, who wants to play? And then tweeted about it and put these pictures of her at the practice and everything. It was like, yeah, we're going to play. Yeah. Hey, right now there is a strong sentiment in these parts to push forward. And the idea that, you know, these are young people and they're going to be fine. And donors, think about that. Like, hey, we're playing football, right? Because I give you a lot of money every year, and if we're not having a football team, then tell me why I'm giving you more money. I mean, you think that conversation isn't happening? Of course it is.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be another problem that you have to look at. Forever on this with the implications, and I know people have thought about them, but when you take, for instance, Ohio State and all the other schools that have said so far that they're going to continue to give these athletes the meals, the services, the medical, the training facilities, and also still give them the opportunity to get their education under a scholarship. Well, this all comes from that donor money, and the rest of the money, the maybe $100 million that comes from a big football program that gets you through the rest of the year. If that starts to go away, how does a school afford to continue to give these services? So that puts even more pressure on these presidents and chancellors to go forward with the season.
Yeah. Well, and what's going to happen is you're going to see so many sports cut. I mean, Stanford cut 11 sports already, okay, before the Pac-12 decided to take football away. 11 sports. So think about that. Think about the coaches. Think about the athletes who had, most of them probably partial scholarships, but still, it's a lot of money toward a very expensive education. I mean, Stanford is a very expensive private institution. 11 sports. A lot of people who put their life into that, you're just gone. You are going to see the SEC schools are already cut very low. There's a minimum amount you have to offer 16 sports, basically to keep nonprofit status, because the sham of college athletics is that it's a nonprofit. And so those opportunities are part of the equation of being a nonprofit. But a lot of these other institutions, especially Big Ten, Pac-12, have a lot more than the minimum. And so that's going to be cut down. And people who work in athletic departments are going to lose their jobs. And so that's where the money's going. The money's not going to come out of like Nick Saban's salary, right? We know this. And there may be a pay cut temporarily, but those people are still going to get their money.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people are going to be hurting because of this. And as far as athletes still being on scholarship, I mean, to me, that has to be a no-brainer here. And any kind of effort to play, a lot of these players have been outspoken about, well, you know, we need to make sure that if we opt out, we're still taken care of. You know, medical benefits after leaving. A lot of these things that have not been a part of this, but should be for what really is an unpaid labor force, hopefully happen in the future. But you're right. It's going to be a strain financially. It's not going to be easy. And when you take out football, when you take out $100 million from Tennessee, okay, basically over 5 years, they've averaged $100 million in football revenue.
That's a large amount of coin.
That's a large amount of coin. That's most of your operating revenue. Mm-hmm. Take it away. Then think about Knoxville. It's, again, like the devastation, we don't really have our arms around what it is, but it is big.
Yeah, I don't really want to throw a BS flag on somebody like Nick Saban or Jim Harbaugh that have come out recently and said that, look, this is a better place for this student athlete to be. We can control their environment to a certain extent to where if we're not offering sports, if they're not here with us, or if they're just on campus and not involved in the structure that is football, because we can tell you right now, guys, if you have not been around a collegiate football system, whether it be at Ohio State or Chicken Salad State, you are structured from the first thing in the morning till late at night. You go to class, you go to study halls, you go to meetings, you go to team meetings, you go to practice, and then you wake up the next day at 5 a.m. and you work out again. And it goes over and over. So you're in a good position right there, and also you can administer the test. So, again, no BS flag there, because it's a pretty good argument from what they're saying. But at the same time, you're hearing this from guys who are making – millions and millions of dollars in this nonprofit environment that is the NCAA, that is huge business for some people.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, look, I don't think that you can be successful in that business. I think it's very difficult if there isn't some, you know, some genuine care for people. You know, I mean, I think any coach, even Nick Saban, I covered Nick Saban going back to the 1990s. He can be tough. He's not always easy to get around, but you know, he's had a lot of great relationships with players too. And I mean, there's a realness to that. And I agree that if players are going home versus being on campus, then they're better off being on campus. The question is to me, like, wouldn't they still be in class, have access to all that? And then they wouldn't be smashing into each other. So you could argue that's safer. But certainly than going home, I think they have a good argument. But you're right. The whole thing, the whole system, amateurism, it's kind of being laid bare for everyone to see what the problems are. And we're seeing the lack of leadership in college football. There's no doubt about that.
John Roberts and Joe Rexroad with you here on the Morning Drive on 102.5 The Game. Got to grab us a quick break here, but so much more reaction from this devastating news of some of the biggest conferences in all of college football scrapping football for this year. But when we come back, the true tragedy of what's going on here, and also perhaps one of the biggest dangers. Stay with us.
Kevin, I just want to get clarity on that question. Were Nebraska or anyone else to say they're going to play elsewhere, could they do it?
Dave, I mean, again, I know what was said, and, you know, these are things that I'm sure there'll be a lot of other issues that will arise or be raised that we'll address at the appropriate time. Today's not the appropriate day to do that. Okay. There are no games today, and I respect your question, but at this point in time, I would just like to focus on our announcement and doing the things that we need to do and should be focusing on, and not focusing on some issues, because there's so many issues that we're in the process of dealing with at multiple levels. And as you can imagine, and I know you can respect, this has been a challenging week collectively. Today's been a very challenging day from an emotional standpoint, and I'm sure the foreseeable future will be in the same way. But we're going to continually work hard. We're going to continually work with our medical people. The world's not ending today. And we'll do everything that we possibly can to make sure we'll gather information, prepare, plan, and create an environment that our student athletes will be able to participate in when it's safe and there's less uncertainty.
Kevin Warren from the Big Ten on the very emotional decision to scrap football this season. Welcome back once again, everybody. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. This is the Morning Drive on a day, Joe, that we never probably would have predicted that you would be having this type of a conversation. I don't think if 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you would ever predict that you would be sitting here having a discussion that two of the Power Five conferences have decided to not have a football season with potentially more dominoes to fall. But we talked about the true tragedy of this whole thing. The people that had to wake up this morning thinking about, you know, when you're a kid and you're growing up, you're watching your heroes. You're watching the NFL players. And I remember just doing the same thing, wanting nothing more than to play college football and to work as hard as I could. But I told you earlier there was one problem with my playing college football. I wasn't very good.
I can relate to that.
There was that problem. But, you know, what happens to a young man that has athletic ability and you start out your freshman year in high school and it's 7 a.m. and you're putting on sweaty, dirty pads. There are no fans. There's no fanfare. You're getting your butt kicked by guys that are probably bigger than you. It starts then. You start paying for it then. And then you play hard enough. You work hard enough. You're good enough to make it to college. Then you start doing this college routine for an athlete in the NCAA football program. Again, you're probably getting woken up at 4:35 o'clock. You work out. You go to class. You train. You go to the training table. Then you go to practice. Then you go to class. Then you go to meetings. And it starts all over again. This is hard work for these young men, Joe. So you get ready to start this season. And you're saying players, the likes of Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, all the way down to somebody that's playing, you know, Division II ball right now. You are so psyched up about this season. It's about to start. You've done your summer workouts. Now, all of a sudden, you get this plug pulled on you. I just couldn't imagine the emotional devastation for some of these guys. It's their lives.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you said earlier, I mean, mental health is a big part of, I think it's a bigger part of the discussion of sports. I think it's a bigger part, John, if you want to take it to another level. I think we talk about it more in society in the last few years, and I think that's good. But I think in athletics in particular, you know, it wasn't that long ago, you know, like the idea of depression for a big athlete. Yeah, that's, you know, we don't touch that, right? I mean, therapy just, for an athlete? No, I mean,
no, it's wimpy, right?
Yeah, there's been some athletes who have really come forward and talked about depression, and some of it is linked to that whole thing, the identity of an athlete. That is your identity as a person. You mentioned the football players. Let's again remember, too, all these other sports, too, including sports that in college have no fanfare. So field hockey players and soccer players, they've all been working their butts off in the sun, too, and they just had the plug pulled on them. And, you know, and they don't have a big lucrative pro career to look forward to, but they're still out there working hard, too. It's a lot. And all these athletes – you probably go back to, what, fifth grade, seventh grade, when it's kind of, it becomes your identity. Specialization is another thing we could talk about today with young athletes. And as a parent, I know that's been a struggle for me, because when we were kids, it was more like, okay, in this season you play this sport, and then you switch to this sport, and you have fun. And then if you're good enough, you play high school sports. And now it's like, you better specialize by age 9 and figure out what your sport is, right? It's way more like that with these kids. And so you're identified as your sport so much. And now it's a very serious thing here. And you know, the idea of taking care of these athletes and, you know, really minding that. And I've talked to a lot of athletic directors, even locally, going back to the spring when there was a lot of hope that this day would not be here. There was still a lot of hope in March and April, like, we're going to figure it out. We have time to plan things out. Hopefully, like, the virus looks better at large in society. That was a big hope, and that has not come through. But even back then, a lot of talk from ADs around here about, we're worried about the kids. You know, this is your routine. To your point, you wake up all day, you work all day long. It is work. It is a job, whether people like it or not. It really is. And then all of a sudden it's gone. And what do you do? And who are you? It's part of this. And it's also, John, again, the big picture of the virus, the infectious disease, the danger of it, but then also the ill effects of the economy, the lost jobs, what that means to people, also very dangerous. It's all together. It shouldn't be opposing ideas. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for health. And mental health is, I think, really something that people have to address right now.
You know, there's a term that educators use, and I saw it for the first time once. I remember sitting in an athletic director's office in Charlotte, North Carolina. And looked at it's called in loco parentis is what he's got. So it's Latin for I am the substitute parent. Is what it is. So, and it was on this channel where Mark Cuban said at the beginning of the whole crisis that was going on, the pandemic, Mark Cuban said, you got to have a kid test here, right? Here's the kid test. Would you, Joe, would you have your kid do this? So you can't sit there and profess that you would do something unless you would put your kid in there. So here's the question that comes up after that, and it's been brought up quite a bit by some people in these power conferences. Okay, if we switch to spring football, and that is what the plan is going forward, you would have a spring football season. Well, think about the injuries you may have if you have then, therefore, in one calendar year, two football seasons. Because I had three guys we grew up with made it from high school to college to pro football. And they all told us that they said, okay, take the hardest you've ever been hit in high school, double it. That's how you get hit every time in college. They said, take the hardest you've ever been hit in college, triple it, and that's how you get hit in the NFL. So this is a contact sport, and your body needs time to rest and recover from it. So now these power conferences are asking, you know, these wonderful athletes that have incredible, just incredible ability to go through two football seasons in one calendar year. That, too, I believe, is putting an athlete at risk.
Oh, I agree. And look, I do think that, first of all, it's ridiculous they don't have any kind of a plan, as far as I can tell, for a spring season. But I think they will absolutely explore every avenue there, and they will do all they can to have a spring season. If they do, you have to push back the fall. Like, I mean, the fall season of 2021 has to be, I don't know, starting in late October at the earliest, something like that. But that's still a reduced time period, and that's a big, big concern for injuries. It's all a mess. It really is.
Here on 102.5, the game we got coming up in just a moment on the Morning Drive, Floyd Reese, the former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM. Boy, if you think this has implications in college football, the implications reach into the NFL as well, and they are very intriguing and very difficult. We'll talk to Floyd Reese about that when we come back to the Morning Drive on 102.5, the game.
You've had to do an awful lot of planning and schedules with dealing with this pandemic this year. As you look ahead to the season, are you doing anything to build a depth chart for your coaches, you know, anticipating that maybe somebody tests positive and isn't available on a game day?
Well, I took I took Carter to college yesterday. You know, I dropped Carter off at college. And so we kind of used yesterday as a day for Craig Aukerman to be able to handle the the team meetings and handle practice or handle the walkthrough that we had yesterday. And then obviously we've been through and we have set up a, you know, a flow chart. I feel like we're set up pretty well to be able to handle some of those things. If coaches were out, I feel very comfortable about where we would be. And we'd still be able to Zoom and do game planning and a lot of different things. It's just on the day-to-day, being in front of the team, you know, or being at practice. You know, Craig was able to handle that yesterday. So that gave us an opportunity, at least, you know, for the players to see and hear him.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel here on 102.5 The Game. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad with you on what is an unprecedented morning. We're talking about power conferences in college football deciding to opt out of a season of football, which, again, the implications and the far-reaching effects are just, we can't even really grasp it right now, I don't think. I think there's more, Joe, to this whole thing that could just continue to go on and on and on, and we don't even really know where we're going as of right now. But the NFL is another thing, and that what Vrabel was talking about, you know, coaches are at risk as well, and they could possibly, you know, be gone, and that could affect the team. Not as big as a star player would. I mean, you can fill in for a coach easier than you can a star player, I believe. But that still does exist.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you still, if you've got a, you know, a head coach, a coordinator who has to miss a certain amount of time, that could be problematic. I mean, if you're the Titans, you would rather have Derrick Henry than Arthur Smith. But I'd want Arthur Smith on game day too. So that was a good question by Teresa Walker about the idea of a coach depth chart and being able to move people around, because you're probably going to have to do that some this year.
Joe, let's bring in the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Enjoyed your take yesterday on Jared and the GM here on 102.5, what you had to say there. But also what I wonder right now is, what does this say to the college athlete that came out and said, I want to play football, and the decision was made that he or she, in a case of another sport, that they can't right now?
Yeah, it's interesting because we've gone through a spell in the last, you know, 4 or 5 months of listening intently to these young people, listening to them talk about race, you know, about police brutality, about all of these things, and treating them like they were, you know, an equal at a table, whatever table that may be. And then all of a sudden something like this comes along and you go, well, you know what? You guys really don't know. You know, you guys are kind of out there in the back, so we don't need to listen to you guys. So I don't know. It's the same thing, I think. You know, it's probably been this way throughout history, which is we choose to listen to them when it's comfortable for us. When it's not so comfortable, or they're talking about things that maybe we want to shy away from, then we shy away from them. So you know, there's going to have to be a point in time where all of that kind of levels out and that we understand that, yeah, in fact, they do have good points. They do have reasons. They do have methods to what they're doing other than, oh, you're just, you know, you're a 20-year-old kid. What the heck do you know?
Well, of course, this is also, Floyd, it's presidents. And you've been in this dynamic as a college athlete and as a college assistant coach. It's presidents, and then you've got your sports people, and ultimately – this came down to presidents making these decisions. Are you surprised that we are where we are right now?
You know, I have to say I am. Yeah. I mean, it's such a monumental decision, you know, and I'm not sure. In fact, I'm fairly convinced that most of these people really don't understand what this does to a school, to a community, to a state, to a program, to athletes, to students. There's so much that's illogical about it. You know, there's so much. We're talking on one hand that we can't play a sport because we're really concerned for the welfare of the kids, but then we're turning around and saying, but you 30,000 students can come ahead to college. You know, no problem. We'll space you and we'll do, and all of that's well and good, but we know. We've seen what – we've all been young. We know what happens when you're on your own, in college, by yourself, and the masks and the spacings and all those issues kind of flow out the window. You know, so you're almost – on one hand, you're saying we can't do this because we're really concerned about these 150 kids, but you 30,000, come on in, take over this this campus, and, you know, be kids.
Floyd Reese, the GM, with us on the morning drive here, 102.5 The Game. And Floyd, does this take care, does this end for at least this era, the dream of the guy that is not a top prospect, is not drafted, the unsigned rookie free agent that goes someplace, maybe makes a roster as a special teams player, but then goes on to actually become an impact player? Does this scenario right now, with the loss of a season, with a truncated season, with the loss of maybe, you know, the Senior Bowls and what it might do to the combine and everything, does it take that dream away from a young man?
I think it takes the dream away, or makes it much, much more difficult for the kid that was the late bloomer. You know, the kid that maybe the first year he played in college, he really, really played well, and then the next year he pulled a hamstring, tore a hamstring, and really couldn't perform the way he wanted. So the scouts look at it and they think, okay, you know, the one year he was a superstar, the next year he was injured. Well, this year we'll find out. Well, now we're not going to find out. And so I think it makes it much, much more difficult for that guy to work himself back into a position where maybe he is a first-round draft choice, simply because he's not going to get the opportunities.
Yeah, Floyd, you know, I actually talking to draft people yesterday for something I'm going to write, but the idea of, you know, we know who some of the obvious people are. Like Trevor Lawrence doesn't have to play another snap of football here to go real high in the next draft. Justin
right.
Fields, people like that. But there are a lot of kids who, to your point, could really use this season to put more stuff on film and to show, you know, they've improved at the game of football and maybe, you know, increase their stock, increase their chances. My question for you is, if there is actually a spring season, which I know there are a lot of hurdles and I think there's reasonable doubt that, you know, things will be that much different, but if they can pull it off, is there any chance the NFL would push things back, you know, the combine in February, the draft in April, to accommodate that? Or do you think the NFL is just going to stay where it is, no matter what's going on with college football?
You know, I don't foresee the spring football, even if they do have it, being anything like we expect it to be. You know, I think spring football will be the equivalent of the pro football's XFL. Because like you said, Trevor Lawrence, those kind of guys are not going to play. You know, the guys that you're spending your money to go see play and see win games, well, those guys aren't going to play. And I don't blame them. And consequently, I think you're going to get such a watered down product. It's not going to be what you're expecting. And the truth is, I don't blame him. You know, if I was a kid and, you know, you can't go through a season in the spring, take, you know, 4 weeks, take a month off, and then jump back into another season in the fall. You know, I just think that's too much wear and tear on the body, and there would be too many people that get injured and just not be maybe interested, you know. So the spring games, in my opinion, end up being, if they have them, which I think I'll be surprised if they do, but if they have them, I think it's going to be a very poor example of what we expect when we see Ohio State play Michigan. You know, that's going to be a game of, you know, what's the quarterback's name again? Kind of a thing.
Right.
And I think that's probably going to not help the game a great deal.
So, Floyd, it's almost, I'm not going to say it's inevitable, but there's got to be a great amount of pressure on the other Power 5 conferences now that two have opted out, that we may not see college football at all this time around. And there's no question that when it comes to TV ratings and American sports, the landscape, that the NFL is king. Now, if the NFL were to be the only game in town as we head into the fall season and you move some games to Saturday, is this an opportunity really for the NFL to shine? Or what I'm thinking, does the NFL really need to shine anymore because they are the top dog? What effect does that have, do you think, on the league to be in that spotlight?
Yeah, you know, I think it would probably take, like you said, the top dog and put him somewhere in the atmosphere. You know, I mean, it's I think the game would be so big and viewed by so many. And, you know, it's like we were saying yesterday, last year when we played, I can't remember who it was, maybe at Kansas City or something during the regular. Well, at the same time, on a different station, New England was playing, you know, somebody really good, a big, important game. Well, there were a lot of viewers that watched that game instead of watching the Titans. Well, if the Titans were on Saturday at 3:30, then people would be glued to the Titans. So, you know, the ratings of that game, I think, would skyrocket. So I think it gives them an opportunity to spread into Saturdays. I think they'll take the opportunity. I think they'll do a great job with it. And you know, let's face it, what else are you going to watch? That's why, you know, I'm really hoping that some of these other conferences say, hey, you know, we think we can pull it off. It's interesting. Greg Sankey yesterday, commissioner of the SEC, said something I thought was really interesting when he said, well, we'll wait and see what kind of information the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have, medical information. I think kind of inferring that, well, you know, maybe they have information that we don't have, which I can't believe. You know, I mean, I have to believe that your medical people, the medical people in Alabama are as good as the medical people in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and that there's probably no great secrets out there. It's just what you're using to base your decision on. And if the Big Ten look at a certain area and say, that really changed my mind and led me to cancel this season, well, in Alabama, they may be saying, you know what? We see that. We know it. We think we can protect the kids, and we're going to go ahead and play. So, I mean, really, really interesting times to come because, like you said, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt there is more pressure on these other conferences to not play simply because that would be the, you know, politically correct thing to do. Assuming that you're – knowledge, your protocols, your issues with your players are as good as anybody else's in the country, which with the SEC, I have to believe.
Floyd Reese, thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe, man, and we'll be listening to Jared and the GM this afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right, that's the GM, former Titans GM, Floyd Reese. Very interesting information there. Guys, coming up, as John Roberts and Joe Rexroad take you through the morning drive on 102.5 The Game, a floodgate could be opening. A can of worms could be opening. Please excuse the cliche festival, but we'll tell you what's on the verge of happening when we come back.
Roger Goodell ain't stopping for nobody, baby. The NFL is not stopping. They have shown us this offseason that the NFL train does not stop. You can call it confidence. You can call it arrogance. You can call it whatever you want to, but the NFL is moving forward and they aren't stopping for Ohio State, LSU. It does not matter. They have a calendar, and if you're a college player and you have aspirations of playing in our league, then you got to play by our rules, and we're going to have a combine, which we can adjust, but our draft, our free agency, all those things are going to take place because the NFL understands that we are the big ticket, not NCAA football.
ESPN's Booger McFarland making his point about who is the king in this particular kingdom, that being the NFL. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad with you, and Marquise Munson is back there spinning some wonderful music, by the way, Marquise. We do appreciate that.
Thank you. That's what I'm known for.
You're getting us hyped up.
The Loudcast.
And also steering the ship, too. A ship needs a good rudder.
That's right.
And especially
you can count on Marquise.
I am the captain. Even though I just played the wrong clip. Even though I just played the wrong clip, which I'm supposed to be playing later. But, you know, it was open in my
Worked out well.
But no one noticed it. You know why? Because I just like, you know, captain can steer pretty quickly away from the rock that I'm about to run into. So,
and it's relevant to the topic.
And if you just stuck to the plan all the time, who would ever have any fun?
That's right.
Every once in a while, you got to veer away from the plan, but who's not veering away from a plan? And I can see what Booger McFarland is trying to say there. I think he makes a good point in that you have this huge entity. Now, granted, for the most part, okay, every once in a while these days, you see somebody come and a star in the NFL comes from a place other than an NCAA, a big Power 5 school. Sometimes they come from smaller conferences. Sometimes they come right out of high school. Sometimes they come from overseas. We have seen that as well. But for the most part, the NCAA provides the NFL with the vast majority of their great talent. So if you're saying you're not going to adjust at all because of unprecedented, earth-shattering things that are going on in college football, Joe, I don't know if you can.
I don't. I still believe that we'll see. You know, I think a big thing here, John, is what will this mean? First of all, we all have to wait and see if and when the other shoe drops. You know, is everyone going to stop? Is the SEC ultimately, are they going to follow suit? They won't do it soon. It will at the least, to me, it'll be at least a couple weeks before they do. If they do, and there is really no college football, then I think you may see such opting out that the NFL can be like, I mean, most of the people that we care about are already not going to be playing college football in the spring if they have a spring season. So then, you know, fine. But so I think some of it has to be, I think they will look and see what the landscape looks like. I don't think the NFL are just like, forget, I don't care. Well, I'm just closing. I'm not watching. I don't care. We're going to do what we do. Look, this is their feeder system. This is their minor leagues. That's a fantastic deal for the NFL. They don't have to pay a dime. And they get the free evaluation. The GMs go to the college games or watch on TV, and they've got all this film. And then they go to Pro Day and bring them in, and it is a perfect feeder system for them without having to actually set up a minor league like all the other pro leagues do, right? So I think that if there was a robust spring season with a lot of players who – let's say Trey Smith from Tennessee. He's a kid who – I was surprised he came back for this year. He's a first-round talent. He's had health problems with blood clots. That's a guy who I would expect would absolutely opt out. But, man, who knows? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he says, listen, I came back because I love Tennessee and I got one more year to play college football and I'm playing in the spring season. I think that there's still a chance, maybe I'm being naive, that the NFL would move things back. And to your point earlier, John, if they do have this spring season, yes. Again, the 2021 fall has to go way back too. It keeps getting pushed back and disrupted until whatever year we come back to normal life.
Yeah, the convolution here, the convolutedness of this whole thing. You know, Joe, I was at a ball practice one time, and to tell you about, I don't want to throw the school under the bus necessarily, but to tell you what kind of a school this was, is Division II football school. All their helmets didn't match. They put together the helmets for the kids, and they all didn't match. They were different colors. And so sitting there watching the ball practice, you know, and shooting some videotape of it, going to interview some of the players because they were local, and looked across the field. There was a guy all dressed up in New York Jets uniform, New York Jets sweats and New York Jets hat, older guy, and I say that gingerly, but so I go over and said, "Hey, sir, how you doing? You obviously with the Jets." "Yes, sir, I'm a scout." I said, "You're a scout and you're here?" And he goes, "Yes." And I said, "Well, do you mind, you know, can you tell me off the record who you're looking at?" And he named two players. And the thing was, one player was a tight end. And he said, "This tight end is a certain size and a certain speed. The kick returner was a certain size and a certain speed." And he said, "We have a formula in the NFL that makes us look at a guy." And he, again, said, "I don't care if you're at Ohio State or Chicken Salad State. We're going to find you if you have that type of skill set." Now, of course, you want to see a guy. I mean, you can have the biggest guy, the fastest guy, but if he doesn't, I mean, if he can't read a pass route or read a defense or something like that, he's not going to be able to compete in the NFL. You need to see if these guys can play. But the NFL does have that formula, and there are different ways other than just these huge ball games that are always full of scouts, and you got film everywhere. There are other ways to find players that may assist this process as well.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no, look, you can go up and down NFL rosters, and you'll see players from not a ton of like D3, but definitely some D2, a lot of FCS, a lot of, and FBS, smaller leagues. Football is, you know how it is, like basketball recruiting, there's a relative reliability to it compared to football. A lot of kids at 17, 18 you can already be great. That's why you could go to the NBA from high school before they had the rule you had to wait a year, right? And you could, LeBron James, I know he's an extreme example, but he was great right away. Football, there's so much more building your body that you have to do,
physical,
so much more developing.
Yeah, development.
So there's so many kids who come out of high school and aren't a prospect at that level aren't, and then they, you know, shoot, you might grow 4 inches in college too, let alone the work you do that you put in to become a prospect. So that's a huge part of, you know, the NFL scouting experience is finding those kids. I think it's a lot easier now too. I mean, we have the internet. You can see anyone's film in about 11 seconds of tapping on yes. your keyboard, right? But let's go through the Titans roster right now. You got Southeast Missouri State, Florida International. You've got West Alabama. You got Middle. You know, one of their best players is from Middle, Kevin Byard. You know, you can go up and down this roster. James Madison, you know that school well, not far from where you're from, right? Youngstown State, Cal Poly, SLO, Appalachian State. To your point, I mean, Marshall, on and on and on, Florida Atlantic, Valdosta State. I may have butchered that.
Valdosta.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. There you go. Chattanooga. I mean, up and down the roster. Berry College. Berry. You know, there's a wide receiver who's now an undrafted free agent, Mason Kinsey, who had, like, unbelievable numbers at Berry College. He's 5'10", 198. Probably coming out of high school, no one had a clue who this kid was. He's in an NFL camp. So because he grew and he became a great player. So, and look, the whole scouting situation for NFL teams right now, no one's shedding a tear for them. There are much bigger issues with all this, but it is going to be way more difficult for those guys.
All right, here's the floodgate that might get opened up. Let's take just for example a player of the stature of Justin Fields, okay? It used to be pretty cut and dry. If you transferred within the NCAA Division I schools, if you transferred, you would have to sit out a year, whether it be football, basketball, or baseball. It was pretty clear. But nowadays, that line is blurred so much with the portal that you could have somebody like Justin Fields. He could consider and say, okay, man, look, I want to transfer right now. It could be done. He could be playing for an SEC team.
Hey, Justin Fields, right back to Georgia. Georgia, Ohio State, come right back to Georgia. Here we go. Now, listen, if it actually carries through that these leagues, and I think it would have to be three, the Big 12 would have to also do it, and that's where they apparently are very, very split, whereas right now the SEC, ACC are reportedly a little bit more solvent, and we're going to at least wait and see. But if you had those leagues play, would the NCAA just say across the board, hey, wipe away that? I mean, already it's very random and arbitrary.
Well, it would be pandemonium, wouldn't it? It would be, I mean, everybody be trying to do it.
It would be a raid. It would be an absolute raid.
Yeah, just when you think Lincoln Riley wasn't going to get another Heisman finalist transfer, here you go. Justin Fields to Oklahoma.
There we go. We're
calling it now. Justin Fields to Oklahoma.
Will their defense stop anyone? Maybe they'll finally win it.
And then Alabama goes and just looks, I mean, look at all these great players available. You know, and they take this cream of the crop and they become even more of a powerhouse.
Yeah, just imagine let's say, for example, the ACC just decides, okay, we're probably going to just end it too. And Alabama's like, you know what? We're not really sold on Mac Jones, so we're going to go for Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah,
and it's just going to be free agency in college football. Well, that's going to be fun to me.
That's a scenario of the ACC standing alone, which I don't think would happen. But hey, you know what? I guess we shouldn't be surprised by anything at this point.
True. And we've talked about players, okay, the pandemonium with players. What about rogue universities? What about somebody just deciding, hey, my conference doesn't want to play, but I want to play? And that's what some people are talking about. You're listening to The Morning Drive, 102.5 The Game. Marquise Munson, John Roberts, Joe Rexroad with you. We're going to grab us a quick break. When we come back, we will continue to cover this amazing story and also see what might happen if a team goes rogue.